if you do not understand white supremacy, what it is, and how it works, everything else that you do understand will confuse you. In all of these nine areas of activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war, anywhere on the planet, minute by minute, day by day, all of the time, all of the time.
Good morning, and welcome to the August 23rd, 2022 edition of the CRCS, the Counter Racist Code Show, with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby, and we thank you for tuning in. Just thank you so much. We appreciate that. We'd love for you to be a part of the show. We would just love it if you would be a part of the show. And this is how you do it. Just call this number, 516-453-9921. Press the number one button, as John has done from Houston, and I have a special message for you, John. Cleo is in there, and Cleo, I'm going to give John your message. Constructive action items is in the house. But anybody else, if you would like to call in, call that number. And if you are a first-time caller, make sure that you give the call screener your name and tell them that you are a first-time caller, and we have something very special for you, okay? Yeah, so make sure that you do that so that you can be heard. You can also Gmail me at this, at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. And when I receive it, I will say, got it. Now, what that means is you will go in rotation, and when we have some time on the live air program, I will read your Gmail. Now, ma'am and sir, please do not send me or write me a novel. Just get to the point so that I can relay that to Mr. Fuller and he can answer it in an appropriate manner. Please do that for me. You can also join the chat room. And there are some outstanding conversations in the chat room. And all you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com. And then you want to click on, what, programs, and you want the Produce Justice program. Click that bad boy on, and then the chat room will come available, and click on that, and you are in the chat. And one of the things that you will notice in the chat is a post-view of what we discussed last week done by Constructive Action Items. Didn't tell her to do that. That is her contribution to producing justice and getting constructive results so that you will know. Okay. And as usual, I would say stay on code. So make sure that you do that. Okay. I think that might be all. So let's kick this bad boy off. Let me present to some and introduce to others, if you haven't heard, Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. Good morning, Mr. Fuller, and how are you?
Good morning. I'm still learning.
Okay. Now, last week you started off with constructive contacts. Now, what is in the thoughts and the mind of Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr., starting off on today's program, the 23rd of August, 2022?
Well, it's a number of things, but one thing that I keep hearing, most of the time when we start talking about solutions to the race problem, now, I listen to a lot of programs, I look at a lot of television, I try to listen as carefully as I possibly can to everything, every sentence, every word, that every person is saying when they're talking about race, racism, and or counter-racism. Sometimes it's just a one-on-one interview on some, you might say, obscure television station. Just one person, a host, and nobody else in the room, nobody else involved, and another person who is being asked questions. And that person is given answers. And they're talking about race, racism, and our counter-racism. So I listen, sometimes hours on end, hour after hour, and I flip channels and catch another one, and they're talking. And so I'm always listening for something that somebody taught me many years ago. Listen for the action part. Now, people talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, and they'll say this and that about what their thoughts are and their feelings are on this and that, what the statistics are on this and that. I mean, someone will lean back and talk for a half an hour on what the statistics say about how bad things are in Fresno, California. And they'll go on and on and on. But at some point, and I listen very carefully, and I think this may be the experience with most people, after going to not only looking at television presentations, talking about race, listening to radio, talking about race, go to seminars, sometimes that go on for hours or days, talking about race, when it comes to the action part, that's a part of the code, textbook, workbook for thought, speech, and or action for victims of white supremacy. That's one of the titles of Neely Fuller's book. Thought, do a lot of thinking. If you're going to solve the race problem, you have to should do some thinking anyway. Some thinking. And then you do a lot of speaking, like I'm trying to think and speak right now. Okay. But then it comes to the action part. And I like to put it in just a couple of letters. Do. D-O. And then put that one word, do, and put some words in front of it. What do you do? After you do all this research, historical and otherwise, do all the name dropping, talk about all the people who came before and ancestors this and ancestors that and Kente cloth here and sandals there and high fives over yonder. And, okay. Where is the doing part? The doing part of what? Of solving the problem. Evidently, we're talking about a problem, I guess. Some people may disagree with that, you know, say that, wait a minute, we're not talking about a problem. What problem? Well, we're talking about racism. Is racism a problem? Well, some people say, yeah, racism exists, but there ain't no problem. Well, where did you get that problem from? So some people can't even agree on that, that racism is a problem. You know, what is racism? Some people will say, it ain't no such thing as that. That's just something somebody's making up. Neely Fuller and all them people. They're crazy. That stuff don't exist. All you got to do is ignore all that talk and do your thing. Some people say that. But I hear all kind of discussions. Flip channels. Listen to radio. Talk shows that go on forever. Everybody participating. but I'm always listening for what I think is the most important part. All of it is important. I'm not criticizing it, because the code doesn't allow me to criticize anything that anybody's doing about race, because I haven't solved the problem, so I'm not qualified to criticize any effort that anybody else is making. The only person who is in a position to criticize, according to logic, is the person who has solved the problem. If you haven't solved the problem, you're not in no position to criticize somebody else's efforts. Period. Based on what? Logic. But I'm always listening for the doing part. Because I say, if there's a problem, somebody, somewhere, or something, has to do something. So here's a four-letter word that keeps coming up when it comes to the doing part. I keep listening after hours sometimes. And I have traveled. I mean, in the olden days, I went almost from coast to coast, or literally went from coast to coast, and taking part in seminars, San Francisco, New York City, Florida, California, Texas, you name it. Seminars about the race problem. And what is the doing part that I usually hear after everybody almost falls down exhausted from arguing with each other, shouting at each other, and then calming down and starting all over again and start talking about the next meeting that they're going to have and the next meeting and the next meeting and the next meeting and the next meeting? So I always listen for the doing part. And it comes down to a four-letter word that I hear most black people use, very few white people. White people don't much say much of anything except, well, we're working on it. But black people say, the solution. Okay, everybody take out a pen and pad, whatnot, because now we're going to talk about solutions. You know, because 12 days of a seminar to say what the problem is, we all know what that is. We got that down pat. Everybody's a genius when it comes to that. But now what to do about it, this thing called racism? Okay, everybody got the pen and pad ready? This is it. Four-letter word. L. You know how to put it down in L?
Yes, sir.
O.
Say it.
V.
Yes.
E. And then they look around, and everybody claps and stamps their feet. Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's it. That's what we've been working up to all these years. Love. That's it. That's the answer. Okay, everybody can wrap up and put the, you know, fill the suitcases up and charter their planes and go back home. I mean, man, it took us a long time to get to it, but that's it. L-O-V-E. That's the answer. That's the doing part. We got to love. Now, I said all of that to say this. I keep hearing this. I got a four-letter word, and it's called C-O-D-E. But I don't know what people are talking about. I mean, I have to admit, I am stone ignorant. After listening to 4 hours of different speakers with every type of credential you will ever see, I mean, they got a PhD in everything, and they come up with four letters. Love. Because that's what I'm waiting on. I'm waiting on the doing part. But I never, you know, I'm going to admit to everybody in the entire world, I don't know what that means. I don't know what to do with that when I'm packing my suitcase in the hotel and going back to where I, you know, to Washington, D.C., which is where I reside, and I'm in San Francisco. I've been here 3 days now at a conference, and they told me, okay, Paul, well, we're sending you back in that suitcase. All that junk you got in that suitcase, I mean, about some code or something like that, you can get rid of that. We gave you the answer, love. So when I get back to Washington, I'm saying, what do I do? Well, Fuller, we told you, knucklehead, love. I ain't going to say no more. And he slammed the door. And I have to admit, I'm just sitting there, ice cold, because I don't know how to proceed with that. I really don't. Now, I have to confess my ignorance. So now somewhere along the way, somebody can come on this program and tell me exactly what that means. That will solve the race problem. Just one problem. I'm not talking about all problems. But so that's what I go to these seminars for. I went to one down to Martin Luther King Library just a few days ago, about a week ago. And one very significant, had some TV personalities there. I'm waiting on the action part. I'm always looking for that deal, the doing part. I know about the agony and black people killing each other in the streets and all like that. Oh, yeah, well, you know what handle that? Love. Love will handle that, you know. Fuller, you dummy. Wake up and smell the coffee. Love, Fuller. That's all you need. You don't need all the rest of that junk. Code and all that. Love. Well, I'm telling you, I'm groggy. When people telling me, all I got to do is just concentrate on love. And I say, well, is it anything that you do? Yes, Fuller. Love. That's what you do. And turn around, I mean, in a military fashion and walk away. And I'm telling you, I'm standing there, I feel completely naked as far as, you know, what? I don't know. I don't know what to do. But they just told me. So maybe somebody can fill me in on this, you know, what the procedure is. Is there a procedure or something? Is there anything, you know? But they say, that's all you need. And I don't even know what it is. Because when I ask what it is, they say, if you have to ask, you're really dumb. Now, I don't want to talk to you no more. You have to ask what love is. I mean, you know, you're supposed to be on the radio talking to people all over the world and whatnot, and you don't know what love is. Well, I don't even want to talk to you no more, Polo. You're as ignorant as you can be. Till you find out what love is, then you can come back and talk to me, and then we can proceed and get something done. And I'm saying, get something done. I mean, you know, you just told me the only thing to do is love. And it's all done. So maybe somebody, because I'm belaboring this point, because this is all I'm getting out of every seminar. I don't care what form it comes in and all like that. Now, there are people who will say, oh, yeah, you got to do more than that. And then they come up with, we got to come together. Now, that's the other one. That's number two on the list. Love is number one. Coming together is number two. And I don't know what that means. We got to come together. And then the bug's eyes emphasize it. Come together. And then bug eyes. That's like an exclamation point. Come to together. Love, number one, come together. If you're going to do anything else other than love, come together, number two. Well, what else you got on the board? That's it.
Okay.
Now, maybe somebody can tell me what love is and what coming together is as a solution to the race problem. The only solutions. There's nothing else. That's all you got to do. Love and come together.
All righty. On the mind of Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr., for today, being the 23rd of August, 2022. Let me do this. I'm a special shout-out to Robert, to Sharon, and Moon Pie. They keep Mr. Fuller and myself sounding real good. At least that's the reports I'm getting. So I want to acknowledge them because they really do an outstanding job. So John, Cleo, Constructive Action Items, Monica, Buffalo in the house, Darnell, Corey, and we'd like to have more. Just get online by calling this number, 516-453-9921. Press the number one button and you will get in line. Okay, let me start it off by going to John in Houston. And John, I have a special message for you that I need you to Gmail me so I can give it to you. I don't want to do it over the air. Get ready, John. Getting ready to tune you in. Okay, John, you are on. Go ahead. Good morning, John.
Grand risings, gentlemen. Mr. Bobby, Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr., I had wanted to share something else, but I'm going to attempt to actually answer my elder out of respect as he requested. But were you aware, Mr. Bobby, technically, if one is to believe man traveled to the moon, the first word we're to believe uttered from the surface of that heavenly body was Houston. The eagle has landed. I want you to contemplate that in occasion on who is the eagle. And Houston was being perpetuated as mission control. We'll have to discuss that another time, since that was a dream of mine as a child, to become an astronaut. And I don't know whether or not we're working towards elevating the dreams of people. And that's what I'll segue in to try to answer his inquiry about love. So I gather you would characterize this as a VGQ, my brother from another mother. The simply way that I could observe is love is the effort of a man and a woman coming together and giving birth to another being, boy or girl. Only through love can that action, since my good elder this morning was saying, just do it, like Nike has made billions of dollars off of that action phrase. But hate, that I understand as much of my limited learning, is only man and man primarily, not that women don't participate, but predominantly hate between one man towards another gives us war, death, and destruction. Now, I don't know how to really answer the elder in saying what are we going to actually do in the act of understanding what love is, other than the one act I described, showing love one to another, Mr. Bobby. The action of love dispelling hate, I guess this would lead to a question, whether the elder wants to respond to this moving forward, is that love of even those who hate you, and this is an unfortunate thing that I have seen the civil rights movement and Dr. Martin Luther King be used for 60 years, and most people who keep saying those quotes about him, like I have a dream, and love, and turn the other cheek, and all that good stuff, they seem to forget the quote he said just before he was assassinated, that he fretted or was afraid that he had integrated his people into a burning house. Were you familiar with that quote? Should be infamous, but it's not
famous.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
like the other. So if we are to love those who are showing us hate, which is in Scripture, those who deceitfully and wrongfully abuse you, which would be the white supremacists, and I'll get back to what I was going to ask him next week, was the three categories of people he has tried to teach us in the system of white supremacy is white people, non-white people, and white supremacists. So white supremacists can be dark-skinned people, Asians, Africans, Arabs, Middle Easterns, et cetera, immigrants. But then what is a true white supremacist? Certainly that's based on hate and not love. And I'd like to hold on to maybe hear his thoughts and expressions. And thank you for the time this morning, my good brother, because Houston, we have a problem.
Okay. Hey, John, listen, I need you to Gmail me so I can give you this information. So I'm going to put you on hold and then Gmail me, and then I'll give you the information. I'm not going to release it over the air. Thank you, John. Thank you very much. Okay, speaking about Houston, the man, the other man from Houston, Cleo. Let me see, Cleo. There you go. All right, Cleo, do your thing, man.
Good morning. Long live NFJ and forever live Logic. Good morning, Mr. Bobby. Thank you so much for passing that information along. Also, shout out to Robert Moonpie and Sharon. Appreciate y'all's behind-the-scenes work. Mr. Fuller, quick question for you this morning is, amid your busy schedule, have you allotted any time to watch and provide an analysis of the lessons to be learned from the movie The Matrix?
No, I've never seen The Matrix. I do have someone gave me the movie. I have it right here on my shelf, but I've never looked at it. And because so many people have looked at it and said they learned from it, just because Neely Fuller hadn't seen it, that doesn't matter. If, you know, and most likely I never will look at it. I got so much stuff to look at, and even though it just takes a couple of hours maybe to see it, but they say it's a huge number of lessons in that movie. People have told me that for years. And so my position in the compensatory way is that if the movie The Matrix has caused a lot of black people to think in depth and think constructively and think about doing constructive things, then that movie, The Matrix, is serving a constructive purpose. And anything that serves a constructive purpose, whether Neely Fuller is familiar with it or not, is a plus. So it's not a question of whether Neely Fuller has seen The Matrix. It's those who have seen the movie The Matrix, have they come out of that theater or come away from that TV set after looking at a copy of it? Did they come away from it thinking constructively, thinking about doing things constructively, thinking about what is destructive and what is non-constructive and what is constructive and the difference between the two in any area of activity? If you gain anything from that, or any other movie, even obscure movies that nobody ever even heard of, or books, or newspaper articles. I mean, just a line or two from some newspaper came out in 1921, or just something you saw on television up in the corner. Like I see little quotes every now and then, looking at some of the music channels, like in Soundscapes, I think is one of them is called. And every now and then they'll have something that Ralph Waldo Emerson said. And it'll cause me to think. It'll be a quote. Or something that Ella Fitzgerald said. And it'll be a quote. Or Thomas Paine. Or George Washington. And it'll cause me to think. One way or another. Does that make sense? Can it be used for constructive purposes? See, the universe, according to the code, everything in the universe is a school. No such thing as being out of school. You're always in school. Just walking down a dirt road, you are in school. whether you take advantage of the schooling or not, because there's all kinds of things around you walking down a dirt road on a summer day to learn.
Okay.
That's codified thinking.
All righty. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Fuller. All right, Cleo, I'm going to pass along your message to John when he Gmails me, and then you can take it from there. But I'm going to do this. You are listening to the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby. So we'd like to thank you for that and for listening. If you'd like to get in contact with the show, do just do this. Call this number, 516-453-9921. Press the number one button. If you have a comment and a question, please, ma'am, please, sir, be brief. Be brief. That's what the transporter said. Be brief. Then that way, Mr. Fuller can get the question and give you an answer, or attempt to give you an answer to that. You can do that. First-time callers, make sure that if you are, you can tell the call screener that you are a first-time caller, and we have a special thing set up just for you, and you will be heard. How about that? Don't be scared, okay? It's okay. It's all good. It's all good. All righty. You can also Gmail me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. And when I get that, I will tell you or text you back that I got it, and it will be read at a certain time in the program. Maybe not today, but on a day when we may not have as many calls, I will do the Gmails, and you don't have to worry about that. It will be read, even if it's back from last year, because I have some back from last year, but it will be read, so you don't have to worry about that, unless it's automatically deleted, and I won't do that to you. And also, you can do this. Join the chat room. Man, get in there. Go to blogtalkradio.com, and then you want to get the programs, hit the programs, and then the program is the Produce Justice Show. You want to make sure you get that, Produce Justice. And when you push that button, then the chat room will come up, and you'll get in there. Now, listen. If you do, particularly first-time callers, let me tell you something about the chatters. They are on code. They are on code. And I have seen them. Well, I'll just put it this way. They're on code. So don't go in there playing. Be respectful. Stay on code. That's for all of us. Okay. So now you have been introduced to Still Learning Radio. All righty. Cleo, thank you again for your call, and hopefully we can get John to Gmail me, and then we'll give him your information. All righty, let's go here. Constructive Action Items is here, and I'm going to clue her in right now. All right, good morning.
Greetings, Bobby. Greetings, Mr. Fuller. Mr. Fuller, will you please explain the constructive reason why you included the 10 stops in the code book?
All right.
Because that's basic. Stop things like stop being discourteous. Discourtesy leads to a shouting match that might wind up being a fight and might wind up in some killing. This out of being discourteous. That's just one thing that's in there. And then it says, stop killing. Well, you find that in Bibles. You find it in all types of law books and whatnot. I mean, as best you possibly can, if you have a disagreement of some type or something you don't like, is it necessary to kill? Like Mr. Putin says, it's necessary to do some killing. So he's doing some killing. He's a white man doing some killing of other white people, because he says, you're making errors about the way that you're going about doing things, and I'm going to straighten out these errors. I tried to talk to you. You didn't want to listen. So So I talk to you in a way that everybody understands. I'll kill you and your babies. How about that? And you'll want to talk then if I do enough of that. You know, you don't want to talk to me? Okay, I'll handle that. See, so this is the way a lot of people throughout the world handle many things that come up when they say, I'm tired of talking. I'm going to do something. D-O, that word D-O. Always look for the action. Somebody told me many years ago that you can have a whole lot of talking and it can go back and forth and back and forth. But when the action starts, it's something about action that's very concrete. It's something about the sun when it comes up. That's an action. That's not some lofty theory or something. I mean, it works on a theory. When you say work, you're talking about action. So it's the same with everything else. What is the action? So the 10 stops are very important. It's an action. You stop killing people. That has a big result. Because people are still here who would be dead. And some of them may turn out to invent something that cures 40 different types of cancer in one pill. Because that person is not dead yet. Kind of wandering around figuring out what to do like everybody does. Why am I here? Everybody asks that question. Why am I here on this planet? Why was I born? Everybody asks that question at some point. You were born for a reason. And most likely that reason is to solve a problem. And you don't have to worry about what problem, because the problem will present itself to you. That's why you were born. The problem will find you. And whatever that problem is, that's what you're supposed to be working on. That's why it was presented to you. That's the logic. That's the logic I came to. So in answer to the question, the 10 stops, and then if a person is talking about my book and solving the race problem, I say you go straight to time and energy on the economics, the use of time and energy in revised expanded edition, and that's starting on page 60. And it's just four things, four ways that you use your time and energy. You can't get lost. That's impossible using that part of the code. You're always on code if you just follow page 60 under economics, the use of time and energy. Everybody on the planet is born with two things, time and energy. If you survive the birth, you have two things, and if you use your time and energy doing one of the four things that are listed under economics in the textbook workbook for victims of white supremacy, you are always right on, you might say, point. You are doing what you are supposed to do. And don't move outside of those four things.
Mm-hmm.
It's four simple things. If you get lost anywhere in the textbook for any reason about what to do and what not to do and say, Fuller wrote all these pages and whatnot, page after page, and got all these different words, I mean, with all these different meanings and whatnot. Okay, if you get frustrated about that, just go to page 60. Of the basic textbook, 2016 edition, and look at time and energy. Now, if you're not doing one of those four things right at that moment, then you're off course as far as code is concerned. Because those four things, very short, very brief, right to the point, and then you add to that, like the latest calling in now, the 10 stops, you got it all. Yeah, I mean, you know, you don't really have to proceed any further than the textbooks. I would advise that you do that. So you have to, you know, go about doing things in the best possible manner. But you can't get lost as far mm-hmm. as mission is concerned. I call it the assignment. Even when I waver and start saying, what am I supposed to be doing today? I just go to the time and energy and say, well, right this minute, which one of these four things am I doing? Because if I ain't doing one of these four things, I'm off course.
Yes, sir. All righty. For our new people who are listening, and I was just informed that we have some new people listening, and that's good, new callers. That information that Mr. Fuller just said can be obtained by going to it's at producejustice.com, producejustice.com, where you can get all three books. They're all in now, and that time and energy that he was talking about is on page 60 of the revised of the revised expanded edition 2016. It's on there. Check it out. That's at producejustice.com. One more time, producejustice.com. All righty. Thank you, Constructive Action Items, and I'll hopefully see you back in the chat. All righty. Let's go to Buffalo, and let's see. That's Monica. Good morning, Monica, and I have a quick question for you, if you can answer this. I think you talked about Mr. Fuller's books in the libraries up there. Do you have any latest information about Mr. Fuller's book in the libraries out there?
Hi, Mr. Fuller, Mr. Bobby. They did get a copy from New York City, but that wasn't exactly, remember when I first started talking about this, I was saying I wanted them to actually purchase a copy. So they did get a copy from New York City, but that wasn't exactly what I was saying. But it's better than nothing, I guess. It is here.
Okay, good. Okay. All right, thank you for that update. All right.
Okay. Mr. Fuller, I'm reading this book, and the book is called Addicted to White, and I wanted to just get your take. Is it a fair statement, or I should say maybe your elaboration? Non-white people are addicted to white. I did look in your word guide. I don't see the word addicted. So I just wanted to get your take on it. On that statement?
Are non-white people addicted to?
To white. Or the white,
the white people?
Yes.
Well, we are addicted to the system of white supremacy because if you look at white supremacy as a drug, a social drug, a economic drug, quote, unquote, whatever way you want to describe it, it intoxicates people, if you look at it that way. And you can look at it that way because words don't mean anything except what you make them mean. So if you want to use the word addicted, one could do that. One could say, but you're subject to it. And when a person is subject to something alien that is poisoning them, and they can't resist being poisoned, you can say that's an addiction. So you look at the word, you know, since it's not in the counter-racist word guide, millions of words are not in there, really. There's no way that I could have all of the words in the English language in such a small book. But I just picked out certain words. That's why I call it a guide, so it can guide you to maybe a huge encyclopedia-type dictionary. And I've seen some of those. You have to roll them around on wheels because, you know, I would break my back actually trying to lift one of them. I've seen some of these dictionaries so huge. The English language has a huge number of words in them. Addiction is one of those words. So you can just use the English language definition. And if you don't like that definition, you can give it your own definition. That's the compensatory way. I've done that with the word guide, like the word justice. I have a definition that I made up because I didn't like any of the definitions I saw in any of the dictionaries that I look at, and I didn't like them because they were confusing. All the definitions for justice were confusing to me. So I came up with one that I thought wouldn't be confusing to me or anybody else. It's right straight to the point and something you can measure. I couldn't measure the way that the word justice is being used in all of the dictionaries that I looked at as a definition for justice. Some of the definitions were, almost looked like a half a page long and whatnot, all kinds of stuff in there. And it got to be more and more confusing to me. Everything that I saw, I was very dissatisfied with it. So the word addiction, you can use that as long as you explain what it is. I mean, I haven't called it that, but you don't have to wait on Neely Fuller to give you a word to use. That's a part of the code. That's the beauty of the code. You can make up words. And when you make up words and give them definitions, you got control of that language. People have to ask you, what does that mean? And then you tell them. And somebody says, that doesn't mean that. And you say, wait a minute, what did I say? I made up that word. And I gave it a definition, so it's got to mean that. See, that's the beauty of the code. You can make up your own words. You say, well, you can't go around making up your own words. Yes, you can. All words are made up by somebody. So you don't have to stand around waiting on somebody else to make up a word. You can make up a word yourself.
Okay. All righty. Thank you, Monica from Buffalo. And new caller alert. Thank you, Monica. New caller alert. We have, George from Canada. Let me see if I can get you in, George. Okay, there you go. George, welcome to the program. I call it Still Learning Radio. That's my new moniker. But welcome to the Counter Racist Culture with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. What's your question?
Thank you very much, Mr. Bobby. Hello, Mr. Fuller. At the beginning of the show, Mr. Fuller talked about what is coming together and what is love going to do about the race problem. And from my experience, it's not going to do anything because we're going to just be in the same place that we were, you know, at the beginning. So according to the code, love and justice are all one and the same. So if justice doesn't exist, then love doesn't exist. So I do have a question. My question is, Mr. Fuller, why are you not discussing the connection between racial shadow boxing and black people killing and harming each other as a result of the refined white supremacist, racist, dominating, mistreating, and subjugating black people, locally and globally?
Why am I not discussing it?
Yes, sir.
I do discuss it. I say, don't do it. Stop killing. That's a discussion right there. Two words. And
I
how do you... Okay, go ahead. What's the question?
I don't really hear you use that term that you coined, which is called racial shadow boxing. So black people become shadows of the white supremacists. They become like puppets and pawns, and they get manipulated in all areas of people activity.
Oh, no, I could. You know, nobody brings it up. See, I have a lot of things written in the textbook for victims of white supremacy, so it's a lot of things I don't bring up. But if somebody brings it up, I just point out what I've written in the textbook. I just tell people to read it, and then if they don't understand it, then I try to explain it. That's all. There's lots of things
okay.
that I haven't discussed that are in the textbook. So
okay, Mr.
Fuller.
It's
a lot
of
quotes in the back of the book, the 2016 edition. that I have never even tapped into. I've never even looked at them myself.
Okay, Mr. Fuller, I hear what you're saying, but can you please give the listeners, you know, a double dose, a quadruple dose of what racial shadowboxing does to black people's minds?
Well, black people being prisoners of war do what? Prisoners of any kind do what? Mostly fight each other when they get mad about something. That's what they do. That's why you have prison riots, and they throw mattresses around and start fires and run up and down the cell block. I mean, and those who have made homemade knives, they kill each other. And so the guards just stand around and, you might say, just kind of ho-hum, yawn and look at the show until they finally settle down, because they ain't going nowhere. And black people are the same way. Black people get angry about this. Black people are always angry, particularly the younger they are. The black males in the Northwestern Hemisphere, there's so many frustrations coming at them at once that they get angry about everything and everybody. So when they lash out, they know how dangerous it is if they do anything to make white people mad. Now, they learn that real early because they look at their elders and see that. They see the fear that is in people like Neely Fuller. They can, you know, they're not dumb. Young black people are not dumb when it comes to basics, and that's a basic. Elder black people are stone fearful of white people who get serious about hurting black people. And that fear is real, and that fear is warranted. So young black people coming up, looking at their uncles and elders, we always like to talk about elders, you know, but when it comes to white supremacy, the elders melt. All of us, I'm an elder, I know. We try to fake that bravery. We're not brave. We're scared to death. All of us. We're fearful. And the young black people pick up that fear. And it makes them angry. But then they acquire the fear too. Because they say, that fear is real. And it's sensible for the elders to be fearful, because anything that's more powerful, like the system of white supremacy, than you ever thought about being, and you were born in it, in that system, and subject to it, and you're in that prison system, you're fearful whether you admit it or not. You say, well, I'm one brave black person, whatnot. Well, that's a word, brave. But there's a lot of brave people who are dead, okay? And you can be killed instantly by the white supremacists when they really mean business. Why? Because they have all the power. That's why black people don't have any at all. We're born in a prison camp called the system of white supremacy, and that's the most powerful, most awesome prison system ever conceived in the minds of people in the history of the world. And that's a fact. So young black people who lash out at each other because they are fearful of who else they going to lash out at? They going to run around, I mean, you know, telling white people, you know, that you can't tell me what to do. They don't see none of the elders doing that, those that survived. So they ain't doing it. But they find that they can kill each other and don't nobody care. So that's what they do. Young black males, I mean, you know, that's their biggest sport, killing each other. They kind of settle down as they get older, if they get older. But the older black males, many of them were doing that killing and gotten away with it. Why? Because the white supremacists say, we don't care about you black people killing each other. Whether it's in Chicago, Houston, or Rwanda. Over 800,000 people, black people, in just a few weeks, 800,000, hacked each other to death in Rwanda in the 1994, I think. 1994. That's just around the corner. That's a few years ago. That wasn't 300 years ago. And the white supremacists who instigated it all, like they instigate everything that black people do, they just sat back and watched the carnage and say, see, it don't take much. Black people, when they get mad, they want to lash out at somebody. So they wind up killing their neighbors. And their neighbors are whom? They ain't got no white neighbors, so their neighbors look just like them. Until, and you know, we stood back and watched Rwanda till they just did so much killing. Ain't nothing but dead bodies everywhere. They got tired of killing. That's what made them stop. Didn't nothing make them stop, really. Just got tired of killing because they say, we don't have nothing but dead bodies. Ain't nobody working. Ain't nobody doing no farming. Ain't nobody, the shops all closed. There's a lot of dead people. And so you might say that they came to their senses, if you can call it that. But what I've heard, the way the thing wound down, they just said, hey, you just walk out on the street and ain't nothing but just dead bodies. Just dead black people, as far as I can see. Say, now what? And the white supremacists flying over in their helicopters taking pictures like they're on a tour. These are the dumbest people on earth. We need to get rid of all this so-called pride. We don't need it. And learn how to handle things. Learn how to do things that need doing. And stop jiving. Stop high-fiving. All of that. We haven't earned it. We haven't earned not one high-five. Not one. Just on slaughter in Rwanda alone. Not qualified to high-five.
All righty. Well, say what we're going to do. We have come to the end of the first hour of the Counter Racist Code Show, so let me close it down. Listen, all the material that Mr. Fuller is speaking about, you can get at producejustice.com. That's producejustice.com. Go there, go to the site, and check it out. Now, we thank you for listening to the first hour of the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. I call it Still Learning Radio, at least I'm going to try to call it that, because we're all still learning. If you got to go, then we'll see you. Hopefully, you'll be back next week. But if you are going to stay for the second hour plus, then stay right there because we will get to you. We have made it a mission to make sure that we get all the calls in. So just hang on in there. We're going to get to you. But thanks for listening to the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller. And I'm going to shut this bad boy down. And then the next 7 seconds, we will commence with the second hour of the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. and Mr. Bobby as your co-host. All righty. Welcome back to the second hour plus of the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby. Now, if you'd like to get in contact with the show, just simply call this number, which is 516-453-9921. And when you do that, press the number one button, and you will get in line, and you will be heard. Yes, you will. Stay right there. I mentioned Plus. Well, thanks to Robert and a few others, we have a little bit of time so that we can get in all the calls. but I'm going to ask that you not abuse that, okay? But we do have just a little extra time on the end. So, and I thank Robert for working that out because the calls were coming in so much and we had to cut it off. But now that's not the case. But please, please, I'm asking, please, please don't abuse that, okay? All righty. Now, if you're a new caller, just press the number call in. Make sure that you tell the call screen that you are a new caller. And we have a special program for new callers only. And they keep track if you, anyway, new callers. Just do that and you will be heard. You can also Gmail me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. I will say I got it, and then at a certain time, your Gmail will be read. Now, I want to tell you, particularly if you're calling in for the first time or writing me the first time, generally, it will not be read that day. I just want you to know that. It'll go in rotation, generally. Okay? But sometimes there might be an exception made for whatever the reason. I'm not sure of that. But anyway, but just be aware of that. And I will say, got it. And then when it is read, I will give you the date and the time so that you can hear Gmail being read. And you can also get into the chat room by going to blogtalkradio.com. Just go into the where it says shows. You want to produce just a show. Click on that bad boy. And when you do that, abracadabra, yeah, the chat comes up. And then just hit that, and then you are in there. Be codified, okay? Stay codified while you are there, okay? I believe that is it. Oh, yeah, don't forget, all the books, all the materials, and everything that Mr. Fuller talks about can be obtained by going to producejustice.com. producejustice.com. By the way, when you do that and you get that book, you might want to go to page 60 under Time and Energy to find out some information that you will need. Okay, Mr. Fuller, got one for you here. Somebody named Anonymous said this, Mr. Fuller. They said, Mr. Fuller, how do you prevent yourself from becoming irritated or annoyed by fellow victims who try to use your program to promote their own ideas?
I tell them not to do it when they can. All they have to do is just say that they are using Neely Fuller's material. Just tell the truth. The code says that that's the first thing you got to start with. Be willing to tell the truth about what everybody's doing, all right, and why they're doing it. That's all. It doesn't take anything away from a person to just be truthful. I borrow ideas and whatnot from Mark Twain, George Washington, Socrates, quote a few things out of the Holy Bible. I mean, and I say, well, I got it. That's all. That's what I'm asking people all over the world to do. But don't take Neely Fuller's quote and then put your name on it and then walk out to the world and say, you know, this is my claim to fame.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you need to do that for? You come up with things of your own. You can look at Neely Fuller's material and say that, hey, he said this and he said that. Well, I got some opinions of my own. And then give your opinion. Because that's all Neely Fuller's doing is giving his opinion. He hasn't solved the race problem. So you don't have to copy Neely Fuller. You can just quote Neely Fuller, and you should. I ask people to do that. But say that this is what Neely Fuller said. Now, I don't quite agree with Neely Fuller, okay? Or I agree with Neely Fuller. And you can say why you agree or why you disagree. And then say, now, this is what I think. Neely Fuller told you what he thinks. I'm going to tell you what I think because I got some thoughts of my own. And that will help improve everybody. Neely Fuller will come along and look at those thoughts of your own. I've done it.
Yes, sir.
I told people, I said, you know what? I said something, but you came along and looked at what I said, and you quoted me as having said it, and then you say you can say it better. And then you proceeded to do that. And I've actually run across people who have actually done that, and I have said, you know what? You took what I said, and you thought about it, and you thought of a way to say it better. So you quoted what I said, and then you quoted what you said. And what you said turned out to be better, and Neely Fuller looked at what you said and said it was better.
Yes, sir.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's being honest. See, the black people who are running around talking about this is my code and this, like, and they lifted it right out of Neely Fuller's book. You're not being honest. And another thing you're not doing, you're tearing yourself down because you're saying you don't have any ideas of your own.
Mm-hmm.
And you're supposed to be growing. But, you know, but if I quote Longfellow, I'm going to tell people, this is what Longfellow said long before I was born. I mean, you know, that doesn't take nothing away from me. And it doesn't add anything to me if I'm quoting what Longfellow said and said, this is what I said. Longfellow never did say this. I came up with this. This is mine. That's not growing. You're not helping yourself to grow when you do that. And I'm telling everybody out there who's doing it, and a lot of people are doing it, put Neely Fuller's name on it the best way you got it. If you're drinking Schlitz beer, don't say that's your beer and you didn't make it. You don't even know how to make no beer and ain't got no factory. Don't take that beer bottle and put your name on it and say this is something I invented. Say this is something Schlitz made. All right, if you're a beer drinker and all like that, which you probably shouldn't be, but that's what you are, you know. Listen, you know, and you grow when you do this. You're actually not taking anything away from yourself. You're not robbing yourself.
Okay. All righty. There you have it. Okay. Boy, you made that Schlitz reference. Boy, you went way back to get that one. All right,
they don't have it anymore?
I don't know because I'm not a beer drinker.
I'm not either. I never did drink beer, so I'm just saying. And maybe I shouldn't be. I shouldn't be advertising their beer either. but I'm quite sure they appreciate it.
I just remember their commercials, Schlitz. That was a real beer. Okay. Anyway, one more here. Says, if black men are afraid mainly of each other, why is there so much animosity directed by them towards black women? We as black women are called unfeminine, aggressive, but that white woman or women or non-black women are preferable. Why is this?
And what's the codified answer?
Come on.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Ms. Fuller.
If any harm is being done to black females by black males, it's the white supremacists who are behind it. That's where the harm is coming from, in the system of white supremacy. Black males have been taught to write songs and everything else that are derogatory of black females. And the songs become very popular. And people buy them by the ton. And the white supremacists are the people who put out that influence. So it's just a spillover from the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The code says, it's a standard saying, it's four things that are in the textbook for victims of white supremacy. Many people have been harmed who should not be harmed. Statement number one. Statement number two. many people are to blame. Didn't say what kind of people, just says many people are to blame for the harm that's being done here on this planet called Earth. Number three, the people who are most to blame for the harm are hiding in plain sight. There are people that you look at in the face all the time, but you don't recognize them for who they are. You pass them on the streets of all the cities all over the world. They are white faces. But it's not just because they are white, because a whole lot of black people look like they're white. They're white supremacists. And number four is the people who are most to blame for all the harm are all white supremacists. So that's like a catch-all thing that's in the code book. I'm going to say them again. It's just four things. Many people are being harmed who should not be harmed. Now, everybody will admit to that throughout the entire world. Number two, many people are to blame. Number three, the people who are most to blame are hiding in plain sight. They're not somewhere on some mountain or up under the ground somewhere. You're looking right at them. But you don't recognize them for who they are. Number four, the people who are most to blame are all white supremacists. They are most to blame for every harm that comes to everybody on the planet called Earth in 2022. Why? Because they're the most powerful people on the planet. The smartest, most sophisticated, most technically advanced people in recorded history. Now, that hurts a lot of black people's feelings, but every black person knows it's true who's walking around bragging about his cell phone or his fancy shoes without thinking about what. Did you make them? Did you make that cell phone that you brag about having? Did you manufacture just one pair of those fancy shoes that you show off to your friends? And the answer is no. If you're black, you don't manufacture nothing.
All righty. There you have it. That was from 888. You're welcome, 888. We're going to Milwaukee. Thanks, Slitz was in Milwaukee. But anyway, Corey is there. Come on, Corey, bring it.
Greetings, Mr. Bobby, Mr. Fuller.
Greetings. Yes, sir.
Yes, unfortunately, Slitz was from Milwaukee. Okay. Not a good thing to be known for, alcohol. Mr. Fuller, I want to quickly just thank you for the code. Thank you for answering questions, my questions, everyone's questions. The code has changed my life in the code books, literally. I want to ask you, Mr. Fuller, have you experienced this? In striving to make sure all my contacts with others are constructive, all constructive contacts, I applied the four once on page 171 and 172. Many times, suspected racists get very upset as I stay in question mode, and I'm not able to make it past question number two, why, or question number three, what's their plan? I want to ask you, have you experienced this, Mr. Fuller, and can I still consider this a constructive contact after I find out, okay, this person won't engage constructively with me? Is it still considered constructive contact? Thank
good
you.
Question.
Well, I'm not getting the core of the question. Is the use of those four questions about wants, constructive when you
yes,
make
sir.
Contacts is the use of
yes,
asking
sir.
Those
well,
four
I...
questions.
Yes,
what, if I understand, what has been the result of you using those four questions? Has it brought about more conflict or what?
No, with fellow black people, it's produced less conflict.
Well, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. Slow down. I want to take this very slowly so that the whole world will get it.
Yes, sir.
Now, when you ask these four questions of other black people, what happens?
It's a constructive result.
Oh,
it,
you've
it
gotten
ends up being
constructive
a constructive
result?
Result.
Oh, you are reporting that
racism.
You have gotten constructive results. Is that correct?
Correct.
Oh, well, that's why I put it in the book. It's supposed to produce constructive results. So, now, is there a problem?
When I apply the four wants with suspected racists, many times they become very angry, even at question number two.
Okay, hold it right there. Wait a minute. Let's take one thing at a time. This is scientific. In science, you take one thing at a time. Number two is what? In asking about wants. Number two is
why do you
want to do what you want to do? That's the question, correct?
Correct.
And you say when you ask white people, why do you want to do this thing that you say you want to do, sir, they get angry. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir.
That's been your experience?
Yes, sir.
Then you can ask them a third question that's not on that list. You can ask them, are you angry about the question? And then wait for the answer. That's a suggestion that I'm making right now, because that's what I would do. I would say, oh, sir, I asked you, why is it that you wanted to do what you said you wanted to do? And it appears that you are angry. Are you angry? And if you are angry, why are you angry? And don't help them with the answer. Because I haven't had that experience. You know, but you said that the white people that you talk to, when you ask them why is it that they are doing what they said they wanted to do, and you ask them, well, why are you doing it? And they get angry at the question. Then you can ask the logical question, why are you angry about me asking you about something that you said you wanted to do? Are you angry at the question? Are you angry with me for asking the question? Why are you angry, sir? And always be polite. Because all you want is information. And then ask another question. Is it incorrect for me to ask that question? And if so, why? So you might have dozens of questions just about why they are angry, rather than it's just three or four questions. Because, and why? It's not the, what you call pin them down or trapping. That's not what none of the code is about. It's about getting information so you can relate to people in a constructive manner. And he might say, well, just don't ask me that type of question no more. So then that's a request. And the code says, oh, then you abide by that request. You say, oh, I won't ask you that no more. then you go on to the third question. Say, now I have a third question here, sir. And then I ask it. Because there's no point in us proceeding if you say, if your whole position now is you don't want to be asked no more questions. So and then you can even follow up by asking, do you ever want me to ask you any questions? And the person might say, I don't know what they're going to say, so, but I'm just saying hypothetically. That white person might say, no. No, I don't want you, now that I know where you're coming from, I don't want you to even talk to me ever again. And then you say, thank you very much for giving me that information, sir. And I will do my best to abide by your request. And don't talk to them no more. Because why? They ask you not to. You're just seeking information, that's all. Constructive information with constructive intent. That was your intention. You know, if a white person wants to do something, and if you're around them, people always act according to what they want to do. So if you find out what a person wants to do and everything is harmonious and all like that, it doesn't get no better than that. So your intent is always correct. But if they got problems with your intentions, well, there's nothing you can do about that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right, Mr. Corey, thank you. From Milwaukee, Corey, thank you so much. Let's do this here. Okay, thank you, Corey. We're getting ready to get some holla. Now, you know when I say holla, you know that I'm going to the dollar. Okay, let's see. That's the dollar bill in New York, New York. Dollar bill. Go ahead, bro.
Good morning, Mr. Bauer. I mean, Mr.
Yeah, see there? Dollar. See there?
Good morning. Mr. Bobby and Mr. Fuller, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Wow, good morning, sir. I just wanted to say, Mr. Fuller, you know you have this book. I keep on going over parts, and I just wanted to tell you, you know, every time I go, I got another question. I really appreciate it, and I use it. The four wants, I use that. And I think it depends on the context of the conversation. And I try to tell people that I'm going to ask you four questions. And these are my four questions. And I do it in that way so that they kind of got a feeling for that. But the brother, I think what he's trying to say, they get a little bit, they think you're being difficult. It's like the question of love. When we look at the word love, you brought that up today. I mean, love, if I go to the dictionary and I read the definition, it says a powerful emotion felt for another person. Right? Manifesting itself in deep affection, devotion, or sexual desire.
Wait a minute. I want to hear that last part you said. It manifests itself in what?
It says a powerful emotion. So
a powerful
for another
emotion.
Person, yes, sir.
Okay.
Felt for another person.
A powerful emotion that does what?
It's a powerful emotion felt for another person.
Felt for another person.
Yes.
Okay.
Manifesting itself.
What book are you taking this from?
I'm taking this from one of those books that'll hurt your back to lift up. The New Webster's Dictionary of the English Language. I got one.
Wow.
I've had many years.
Wow.
Yes.
Now we're talking. We're really talking now. But go ahead.
So it says a powerful emotion felt for another person manifesting itself in deep affection.
In
devotion.
Wait a minute. I want to slow down. I want to get this in one of these wheel around dictionaries.
Yes,
a powerful emotion manifests itself in what?
Deep affection.
In deep affection. Okay, I got a vague idea of what deep affection is. Okay, manifested. It manifested itself in deep affection. Now, I'm thinking of right now, so far, listening to this definition, thinking about the doing part. Okay.
Okay.
Manifest. Okay. Manifest means doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes, sir.
In deep affection. Now,
yes, sir.
I don't quite grasp what that means. Deep affection. You know, how deep is deep? And how affection, you know,
yes,
right. See, I'm talking about words now. See, words are important.
Yeah,
words can get you convicted and do life sentences. That's what words do. All right. So now go ahead slowly because I'm getting this because I ain't seen one of these dictionaries in years.
Yes, sir. Devotion.
Go ahead. Finish. Deep affection. Start with right behind affection.
Devotion.
Devotion.
Yes.
Now I'm getting lost. I thought I would. Devotion. That devotion, when I look up the word devotion, that's all over the place. Okay?
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
it looks like it's getting scattered already, see?
Okay.
You know, when I look for a definition, you know, see, that you're reading this, and this is a great public service as far as the code is concerned. I mean, you know, what you're doing right now, you said this comes out of a huge dictionary, one of the latest. But I'm saying why I've always had a problem with that word love, because I've never been able to pin down exactly what people mean. And see, and I'm getting lost right now in this newest version of a dictionary that says they got it down pat.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Okay.
So now you said that last word was devotion. Now, I'm not too sure of what that might mean, but keep going.
Hello?
Are you there?
Mm-hmm.
Are you still there, sir?
I think I got disconnected.
Dollar Bill, no, you're still on. We can hear you.
Yeah. I want him to continue. This is important.
Dollar Bill, you still there? Okay, I tell you what, Dollar Bill. Yeah, I guess you did.
Oh, man. I mean, I don't want to lose him.
Call back Dollar Bill. This is what we're going to do since it got disconnected. You call back Dollar Bill, and we'll get you back in. Right now, let's take a little station break. You are listening to the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby. Now, to get in contact with the show, just call this number, which is 516-453-9921. Make sure you press the number one button so that you can be heard. And if you are a new caller alert is what I will say, give the call screener your name, and then they will tell me that you are a new caller, and then we'll get you right in there. We have a special program set up for you. And again, special shout out to Robert and to Sharon and to Moon Pie. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but we've extended it just a little bit on the end. And what happens is that they will let me know who the last caller is. You know, like when you were going out drinking, they would have last call for alcohol, but we're not drinking alcohol. But they will let me know who the last caller is. So if you're online, don't worry about it. You will be heard, okay? Don't worry about that. Robert and the crew has got it all typed up and all set up, so don't worry about that. Okay, and by the way, Robert, if Dollar Bill gets back in, let me know, and I'll get him back, put him right back on, because Mr. Fuller was right there on that one to get some understanding. In the meantime, and in between time, as Mr. Les Brown would say, we're going to go out to Oklahoma. And Dre, get ready. Okay, let me push the button here. And, okay, Dre, it's buffering. You're on, Dre. Go ahead.
Yo, good morning, Mr. Mr. Fuller, Mr. Bobby.
Yes, sir.
I was watching the news yesterday, and I know Mr. Fuller teaches us don't fuss, don't fight, don't flee. And this white guy, he violated all of those rules. Not only did he fuss with the cops, but he also fought with the cops. He shot one cop, and then he shot another one, killing that cop. And then he proceeded to lead the cops on a high-speed chase where he continued to shoot shots at the cops while he was, you know, while they were pursuing him. Mr. Fuller, my question is, are we wasting our time? Are we spinning our wheels trying to fight this system within the system when the white supremacists can just arbitrarily pick and choose who they're going to impose rules on and who they aren't?
And the question is what?
The question is, are black people, are we spinning our wheels trying to fight this white supremacist system within the system if white supremacists can just arbitrarily choose when and who they're going to impose rules on and who they aren't?
Yes. In answer to the question, by when you say spinning our wheels, it means we're going through a whole lot of emotions, but we're not changing nothing. That's what spinning your wheels means, correct? You're not going no place. Like if you're in a car and your wheels are spinning,
yes,
but
sir,
you're
correct.
Not moving.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
It means
yeah,
you're using a whole lot of energy.
You're not really making no progress. Mm-hmm.
Yes, in other words, your engine is running, you're burning gas, you're wearing out your tires, but you haven't moved. That's
yes,
what
sir.
Spinning your wheels means. I want people to
yes,
understand
yes,
what
sir.
Spinning your wheels means. See, words, every word is impossible, is important in codified
mm-hmm.
science. Every word. So when you say spinning your wheels, I want people to
basically
get that.
Basically wasting our time. Wasting our time trying to fight this system within the system.
No, now,
we wasting
now,
our time?
Now, that's two different things. Are we wasting our time? Absolutely not. Because
okay.
Because according to the code, because people have asked me that question for years, I started off asking myself that question, all right? Am I wasting my time trying to get rid of racism? In fact, one professor at a school said, Fuller, you're talking about racism this and racism that and racism. Say, don't you know by now that the race problem cannot be solved? It can only be discussed. Now, this is a school teacher. Now, before he said that to me, I had heard that said before by other people, but rarely. The race problem cannot be solved. It can only be discussed. So my reaction was, well, if the race problem cannot be solved and can only be discussed, there's no point in discussing it. That's the logic. Why discuss solving a problem that's impossible to solve? But I came to the conclusion, and I came up with a quote for it, any problem that people make, people can solve. And I think that's the laws of the universe. I've seen evidence of that. Any problem that people make, if they had the ability, if the creator of that person had the ability to have that person make a problem, the creator also built within that person or other persons the ability to solve it. So I came to the conclusion that no matter how difficult it looks, in answer to the caller's question now, are we wasting our time? And I say, no, this is how we're supposed to be spending all of our time, because I've seen so many problems solved. I have witnessed that myself. Problems that people said could not be solved, I've seen them solved. I have witnessed that myself since I've been on this planet. Lots of things that people said, that can't be done. Ain't no way that can, nobody can do that. I mean, you know, Jesus or nobody else can do that. I mean, I've seen people just, you know, just flat out just say, you know. And then 2, 3, 5, 15 years later, somebody did it, that thing that they say couldn't be done, and not only did it, but did it what looks like it was so easy. It was so easy to do. Everybody just standing around saying it can't be done, can't be done, can't be done. And then there's a saying that I agree with.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful what you say cannot be done, because some damn fool will come along and do it. I believe that. Now, that's my belief.
Hmm.
That's why I wrote the book. No, we're not wasting our time in answer to the question. This is time well spent. Say, yeah, but we're not making no progress. That's okay. Okay, no, I mean, just keep on. See, it's such a thing as what they call persistence. Because there is a quote, too, that's been made. When everybody gives up on a project, and that one person that keeps on keeping on, that's the person that makes that breakthrough and does that thing that everybody agrees. Everybody's agreed now. Can't be done. And the old Henry Smith over there that everybody just ignores and laughs at, but people always laugh at the person, you know, who does something that everybody has agreed can't be done. And that, as they say, damn fool who comes along and does it. And everybody clams aboard the airplane after saying
mm-hmm.
the airplane will never be. Everybody's buying tickets, getting on the airplane. All those people who say, if you were supposed to be flying, you'd had wings. You ain't got no wings. You ain't no bird. But somebody say, but I might can fly. Somewhat similar to a bird. Wings might not be flapping, but I might can fly. And the people say, there ain't no way that's ever going to happen unless you get some wings.
Hmm.
And if you ain't got none, you ain't going to ever fly. Nowhere over them mountains. You got to climb that mountain to get over it. And a few years pass, and the guy's flying over the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
In 10 minutes, and it's taken you 6 months to climb that mountain.
Wow. Okay. Alrighty. Alrighty. You're listening to
the race problem can be solved. Why? Because people made the race problem.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line. Just a matter of knowing what buttons to push.
Okay. For those who are new on the line, you're listening to the Counter Race Show. Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby. Let's go to Houston, and we have Chris on the line. Let me see, Chris, if I can get you in here. Thank you, Dre from Oklahoma. Chris, let me see if I can get you in here. Okay, there
you go. Good morning.
Chris. Yes.
You can hear me?
Yes, Chris. Go ahead, babe.
Okay. I just want to give a suggestion. One of the things that's helped me out in reading Mr. Fuller's works and watching a lot of videos Dr. Wilson has is training myself to have a planetary thought, because a lot of white people have a planetary thought. They're not thinking systemic or nationalistic, even though they say that. They're thinking planetary. And so I want Mr. Fuller to can he emphasize how thought is actually an action as well, and that's very important before all of those things. Before taking the action in speech, how thought is actually in action.
Okay, let me before Mr. Fuller answers that question, let me ask you a question. You used a term here that I've never heard of, and maybe the listening audience hasn't heard of it either. It's called planetary thought. What is that?
It's exactly the way we're speaking right now, because it's a word he's even used, the planet, what's happening on the planet. You know, this is an alien thought to us, you know, this thing going on around us. So, yeah, thinking at things from a whole, because it's white genetic survival, and they're thinking about their race.
Okay.
And so, and he's talking about everybody else that needs to be dealing with how they're dealing. So
okay.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Now, what was your question concerning action from Mr. Fuller?
And so in that line of thinking, could he emphasize how much that the thought that we're having, the negative thoughts, you know, the fact that we need cognitive behavioral therapy and so forth like that, how the thoughts is actually an action itself. The way we think is actually an action.
Okay. Mr. Fuller?
Well, if I understand the question, we're supposed to be thinking about the entire universe.
Yes.
The planet Earth is just a small speck in the universe. See, the white supremacists think about everything. They think about all of the millions of black holes out there that they say they've just discovered. I mean, you know, well, people say, well, what's a black hole? Because most of space is black. If you just keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going, and you don't see any stars and any moons or anything that we call planets, then everything is black. Most of space is black. But they say even when you get into what they call black space, there is something called black holes that are in the black space. And anything that comes close to it that has a little bit of light in it will be sucked into the black hole, including other black holes. Now, how far can the mind go in just even thinking about that? What does it look like when you run out of space? Have you ever asked yourself that question? So now you go to outer space, you go through inner space, then you get to outer space, then you get to a thing that's called, I guess, real space. Ain't nothing but space. Now, what happens when you run out of space?
Yeah, okay.
Can your mind stretch that far? That you say, it ain't nothing out here.
Yeah, I'm a little spaced out on that one.
It might even be, yeah, you're spaced out. You're right. But what the spaced out looks like. Now, you got the outer space, but what the spaced out look like? Meaning you ran out of space. What does that look like? Now, why am I saying all this? Because this is the level in which the supreme of the supreme, white supremacists, think all the time. So when they come down and look at a black person talking about opening another chicken shack on the black side of town, they shake their heads in wonderment.
Yeah.
All right. They say they're still talking about just trying to get a bowl of soup. That's where black people's minds are. Or just trying to get a new pair of shoes with a fancy title. And their life don't go no further than that. Man, I'm looking forward to, you seen them new sneakers they got out? You seen them? Man, they'll knock your eyes out, man. And if you ever put on a pair, And so the white supremacist got back from outer space, looks at that black person talking about, man, you seen them new shoes? You know, I ain't got no money, so I'm going to rob somebody. I'm going to get me a pair of them, you know. If I see anybody, somebody got some on, you know, if I have to kill that MF, I mean, he's just going to be a dead MF, because I'm going to get me a pair of them shoes. That's where black people's minds are.
Yeah.
Folks, stop and listen to it. This is where we are. And talking about black progress, we are stone insane.
Wow.
On a monumental scale.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, we're even more insane than insane because we stand around all day doing what? Laughing about it.
Laughing? Mm-hmm.
Peter Green says, laugh if you must, but ain't a damn thing funny.
Well, that was prophetic. All righty. Chris, thank you. Houston, thank you. Thank you. Don't be a stranger, Chris. All right, now I'm getting ready to I'm gonna say I think it's Saheed, and then I'm gonna get Dollar Bill back because he's back. I think it's Saheed. I probably butchered your name, but go ahead, correct me. From Dallas, you're on with Mr. Fuller. Did I get it wrong?
It's Sajad, but that's
okay. Oh, Sajad. Okay. All right. Go ahead, sir. I do apologize. I messed that up. Okay.
Oh, that's okay. I want to ask two quick questions. They're going to be real quick. First, I want to ask Mr. Neely Fuller, or Mr. Neely Fuller, did you see the movie, what is the name of this movie? It was just right on top of my head. I just saw it. It's The Guns of Navarone.
Oh, with Gregory Peck in it?
Yes.
I saw that movie a couple of times. I didn't get much out of it except just one thing. The person that played the part of a Nazi. If I remember correctly, that might have been the Guns of Navarone, or it might have been something called Ice Castle or something like that. Anyhow, I kind of remember the themes of the movie, but mostly it's just an action movie. I didn't put it on my list because I didn't see a lot of lessons in it.
Right.
Now, for the person that does see lessons in any movies, I just made up a list that I thought would cover the era that a lot of white people call the white people at their best, and that is what they call the greatest generation, starting with just a little bit prior to the Great Depression and going right on through World War II and maybe about 5 years after. Now, these are the movies that I chose to cover that era. What they call the greatest generation. Tom Brokaw, I think, pioneered that expression. The greatest generation. Tom Brokaw, the newscaster for NBC.
Yeah, NBC.
For many years. I think he coined that term, the greatest generation. Now, of all the generations that have come down through the ages, all the thousands of years, I mean, that's the label that he put on that era. The era between what we call the Great Depression, just a little before the Great Depression, and just a little after World War II. That was the greatest generation for, presumably, the way I see it, when you look at the details, the white people of planet Earth. And if you study everything that was done in all areas of activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and the daily comings and goings of people, including a whole lot of details like the movies that I chose, a lot of them are about World War II. There's a lot of changes, a lot of inventions were made during World War II. A lot of things, thoughts about going into outer space, ballistic missiles and all that type of thing, all came out of World War II. So in a sense, Mr. Tom Brokaw probably has it correctly. I wouldn't say it covers everything, but that era. So the movie list that I have on my website, I selected that covers that era. I came through that era. I was born in 1929, right at the beginning. In October of 1929, the stock market crashed. They said that was the beginning of the Great Depression. I went all through that. Plus, as a teenager, I went through World War II. And then on the tail end of that was the Korean conflict that they didn't even call a war. They still don't. They call it a police action. Well, I was right in the middle of that on the front lines, all right? 10 months, 3 months basic training, Camp Chaffee, Arkansas, and then slam dunk right on the front lines of North Korea. Didn't know my way, which way was up from down. But in a terrible situation, that I managed to get through. All right.
Yes.
Without getting killed or frozen to death.
Oh, frozen to death. You're right.
Yes.
Judge, what's your second question quickly for Mr. Fuller?
Okay. Mr. Fuller, do you think that a lot of black people are not getting on code is because they don't want to give up non-constructive activity?
Definitely. Black people are taught that if anything is stupid, black people are supposed to be the champions of it. Now, this is the system of white supremacy. Oh, is this a whole bunch of stuff you're going to put on television that, I mean, is mind-numbing? That when you look, when you turn the TV off, I mean, your mind seems like it's just a rags. I mean, it's made out of nothing but garbage and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So is this what you're putting together? And the white supremacist said, yeah, because this is where we want black people's minds to always be, pure garbage and eating the garbage and laughing about it. That's where we want black people's minds to stay forever. Because then our job is easy.
Mm-hmm.
We can jerk them around any which way we want to forever. White supremacy forever. We don't have to worry about them. But if black people start talking about, hey, I'm not doing nothing but serious stuff. All right? The fun's all over.
Yeah.
Or we're going to have fun out of being serious. We're going to change the definition of fun, that we black people are going to actually have fun doing things that make sense. Now, how about that? And the white supremacists, if they hear black people even talking like that and not laughing and grinning and minstrel showing and banjo playing while they're doing it and not being angry or nothing like that, just flat out saying, everything we do from now on has got to make sense.
Hmm.
We black people, we're just going to keep it simple. Everything that we do from now on, if you can't show us where it makes sense, don't come near us with it. Please.
Don't come near us, yeah.
You know, if black people just send that message out to the entire world, if it's not something constructive, don't bring it around black people. We're not in that. No, we've been there, done that, by the ton.
Hmm.
As far as acting stupid all day long, nonstop, and then waking up the next day, I mean, if we got any breath of our body, trying to figure out something else stupid to do, we're no longer into that. We've been there, done that, over and over again. It hasn't helped
us. Over and over and over and over. Yes,
right.
Sir.
We worship stupidity. And you have taught us to worship stupidity. And you have paid us well to worship stupidity. But we're just not doing it no more. We're tired of it.
Yes,
and everything we do from now on is going to be constructive, and we are going to enjoy doing constructive things.
Yes.
Now, more than anything that you want to terrorize the white supremacists with, that will terrify them, literally.
Literally.
If you don't believe
it,
just start acting like you're black and that you're making sense. 100% sense. Man.
Yes, sir.
The white supremacists, I mean, they'll pull their hair out with that one. They'll say, you can't do that. Please, you're abandoning me. You're crucifying me. A black person making sense? My God. Oh, the world's coming to an end.
All righty. Thank you, Saeed, and do not be a stranger since I don't recognize your name. So don't be a stranger. Let's go back to the holler. Let me get ready, the dollar bill. Let me get you in here. Okay, dollar. I don't know how you got cut off or why, but you're black. So go ahead, brother.
Thank you, sir. Well, you know, hey, the usual suspects are out there. So we got to – that's what I blame.
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Fuller, we were at this word love and the definition from this 1997. I'm telling you, this was like a very humongous dictionary that was given to me by the Black Lawyers Association. I was able to
That'll
get one.
That'll do. That'll do big time.
Yeah. So we left off at the part of affection and devotion.
Yes.
And then it says, or sexual desire.
Wait a minute. Slow down on that. I heard the word sexual.
I knew that was a
good one. Oh, yeah. Hey, S-E-X, anything. You know, when you say that, that's when black people come alive. All right?
Yes,
so
sir.
I want everybody, I mean, to hear this. It says what? Now, this is in connection with the word what? Love, all right?
Yes, sir.
So now you're going to connect it with sex? Okay, now we're getting somewhere. Okay, maybe this is why black people say, hey, we got to love, all right?
Hmm.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
I mean, you know, but continue. I want to hear what the white folks say love is. Okay.
Now, what they have are these two, they have these different meanings of the word love. So they give you like these, this double bar, like a Roman numeral 2 that separates.
Oh, okay. That's okay. They probably got 3 and 4. I've seen that in many dictionaries
with many different
words. So that's kind of common.
Yes. And then what they're saying is they give the first one as the object pertaining to love. They say the first one is the object of this emotion. Second, then they have the bars.
Well, wait a minute. Slow down.
Go ahead.
It says after devotion now, it said what?
No, after sexual desire. So it says, let me just go from the top a little bit. A powerful emotion. Yes, sir. Felt for another person. Manifesting itself.
What to another person?
Felt for another person.
Felt. A powerful emotion felt for another person. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Continue.
Manifesting itself in the perfection.
Manifesting itself in deep. I don't know how deep is, but
it's pretty deep. Yeah, it's deep.
Deep. Affection.
Mm-hmm.
Is the next word affection?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Affection meaning having an effect. Okay. I guess that's what it means. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Then it has a comma. Then it says devotion or
devotion. Now, I had problems with that word, but we can get back to it. I want you to keep moving.
Or sexual desire.
Devotion or sexual desire. Oh, so that's what black people, I'll have to ask black people what they mean when they say love, and then I could use that definition right out of that huge, humongous dictionary that you have. And I can just go right straight to that last part of the definition, because usually definitions, when they are given in any setting, the last part is usually the most important part, I guess.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Punchline, they call it. And so, and sometimes it's the first part, I don't know. But I know that when you say anything about sex, I mean, you know, black people who are asleep will wake up, okay?
Sure will.
Yeah. I mean, you can drone on about this, that, and the other, but when you mention anything about sex, because, see, we have been taught, I mean, you know, to make sex, you know, a big thing. Of sex of one form or another, because it's all over the place now about what sex is, okay? But that's another story. But anyhow,
I can
legitimately ask black people after a 3-day conference on solving the race problem, oh, when you say love, you're talking about sex. So are you saying that the solution to the race problem is sex? Because we got plenty of that. And the evidence shows that a whole lot of sex between black people and white people has benefited the system of white supremacy. Now, that's what the record shows. It's been sex going on between black people and white people right from the first time that a white person saw a black person, I guess.
Yes.
So it didn't take, 15 minutes later, sex is going on, okay? So we have had tons and tons and tons of that.
Mm.
Like one black lady said years ago in one of the seminars that I was giving about the code. She said, what you're saying, Mr. Fuller, is you can't screw your way out of the race problem. And I said, yeah, the record shows that, if you want to put it in those crude terms. And she says, yeah. I agree. She said, because I wouldn't have no problems if that was happening. Now, that's what she said from the audience. She said, in other words, if the solution to the race problem is black people and white people all jump in bed and just have a big orgy, okay? if that would solve the race problem, we would have solved the race problem a long time ago. So there, is it anybody who had have a whole lot of what you call Hollywood experiences and whatnot? I think that they would agree with my summation, and they can straighten me out if I'm wrong. Can black people and white people, under this thing called love, which means having nonstop sexual intercourse, solve the race problem? And I'm saying,
but Mr. Fuller, I think that's just one of the reasons. I think that's just one of the meanings of love, because they give you examples right after
But that's just one. In other words, love is kind of loose, said. Goes on and on, right?
Right. Yes, sir.
Okay, well, continue. I didn't let you continue. Yeah, that's just one. Okay.
But what it says right after that, it gives you some examples. It says God's regard for his creatures. Then it says...
Wait a minute. Hold it right there.
Yes.
Now we got God in it?
Yes, sir.
And it says God does what?
Regard for his creatures.
God's regard for his creatures. That's one of the definitions for love.
That's an example of maybe deep affection or devotion, right? So it doesn't really say which one it means, but they're giving you these examples.
Okay.
So that was mine.
I've heard people say God is love, all right?
Right.
Okay. So, but see, what I'm always grasping for is not so much just concentrating on the word. I'm trying to get, what do I do? See, I'm always looking for the doing part. Codification is all about after you think and you speak, is there anything that you do? So I have a couple of books that talk about doing, not just thinking and speaking, but doing. So
yes,
I'm saying when I'm handed this word love, what do I do? Is there anything that I do? And people always say, well, if you don't know what to do with love, I ain't going to tell you, because they don't tell me. And that's what's very frustrating.
Yeah,
gotcha.
That's the part that's very frustrating, just like that coming together. I say, well, once I come together, what do I do? Well, come together. Well, you just said that. But what does coming together mean? Do you do anything when you come together? You come together, Fuller. That's the doing part. You keep asking me what's the doing part. The doing part is coming together. See, well, I get the same thing with this love thing. Is there anything that you do? Now, God does something. I do know that because I'm here. See what I mean? Now, what people call God means whatever created Fuller. That's what I call God. I don't know what other people call God, but whatever created me is God, all right? Because I didn't create myself. Now, when I look at myself, that looks like a whole lot of work went into that. I mean, I can touch stuff. I can feel things. Man, I didn't know about all this. I got fingers, and I'm moving my fingers even as I speak right now on World Hookup. I'm moving my, I got my hand right in front of me, and I'm clenching my fist, and then I'm opening my fingers. Now, you know what? I'm telling the world, I don't know how I do that, but whatever created me knows how I do that. See, I'm telling the truth. I'm telling the truth, the raw truth.
Listen.
I'm working my hand right now, but I don't know how I do that. I don't know nothing about that.
Oh, okay.
Now, if I did it, if I created it myself, I would know all about that, right? Logically speaking. I could tell you how I do that. I ain't got no idea of how I do that. So
right.
I started off with this program today, and I want you to go to producejustice.com because that's the crux of what I'm talking about, and get the books if you can afford them. I know prices are real high, and food is going through the roof and not sending by gasoline and everything else. But, you know, just do the best you can. But I started off this program talking about that word love, and looks like I'm leaving with that word love. And I'll throw in coming together, too, because this is what I've heard black people say after millions and millions of words and books have been printed and more books being printed. They say the whole solution to the race problem is black people coming together and love. So I want to know what that means.
All right.
And I still don't.
Okay.
So to be continued.
Dollar Bill, thank you very much. All right,
thank
let's
you,
go to Ray in Dallas. Ray, finally got you in here. I know you didn't think we were, but we got you. Go, brother, go.
Good morning, Mr. Fuller. Good morning, Mr. Bobby.
Good morning,
Mr. Fuller,
sir.
You started off to thank you, sir. Mr. Fuller, you started off today's broadcast talking about doing and saying. Doing and saying. Mr. Fuller, my logic has led me to believe that with every available language for non-white people to speak on the planet, even the same languages that white people speak, even the languages that, you know, it's all non-white people, with any available language to speak on the planet, nothing has been said that has compelled the white supremacists to stop the practice of white supremacy. Nothing at all up until this point. Why does it seem as if the only doing by non-white people that the white supremacists pay attention to is counterviolence?
Why is it that the only doing part that white people pay attention to is what?
Counterviolence.
Counterviolence? Is that the word? I'm trying to get that last word.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The white supremacists do not pay attention to anything said by the victims of white supremacy. They only give great attention to counterviolence, the talk of counterviolence counterviolence.
Wait a minute. Hold it. I want that one word because it's not coming over to me. Did you say counterviolence?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Now. What's the last part of the question? I just want to get that one word because I missed that word.
Yes, sir. My question is, why is that what the white supremacists give great attention to when victims of white supremacy speak about and actually perform counterviolence?
It's because counterviolence is an action. A very, very impressive action. Like I gave the illustration this morning about Mr. Putin, even dealing with other white people. It was quite a bit of talk before the first shot was fired. He did a lot of talking. And he said that that area where you people are occupying belongs to a country called my country, he said, Russia. And you all are like a breakaway people from what really is my land and the land of the Russian people. you are part of us, but you want to rebel, like some white people did many years ago, back in 1776 and all like that. I mean, want to break loose. Or like some, you know, he didn't make this parallel, but the southern states from the northern states, sometimes white people get into arguments with each other, and they fight about turf. So Mr. Putin, to make the illustration from what we're talking about, said, I'm through talking. Next thing you hear from me is going to be some babies crying because they're dying. And they're dying from my shells that are falling on their houses and causing the roof to cave in. Now, you'll get that message. That's action.
Mm-hmm.
So when black people get so angry that they start using counter violence against the violence that the white supremacists are inflicting on them 24/7. The white supremacists understand that, but the white supremacists also understand, you cute people think y'all know something about violence. Man, I invented violence, all right? You black people with your 9mm and whatnot, I invented the 9mm. You don't know nothing. Think you're going to be violent against me?
Yeah.
And I taught you violence. I taught you everything there is to know that's worth knowing about violence. So that's laughable.
Hmm.
So when we are violent against the white supremacists, to the good old boys, the proud boys, saddle up, boys, and let's go get them.
Yeah.
They think they're going to meet us out there on the battlefield. I mean, they've got on their little uniforms and their dark shades and all like that that we had to make for them. And they think they're going to take us on the battlefield, toe to toe. Well, now, we love it. Bring it on. You little cap pistols and whatnot. They all think this is fun and games. Yeah, it's fun and games for us.
No.
And they are correct, too. But they
all
do
right.
respond. They do respond because, hey, they like it. They enjoy that. They really enjoy that part of it. Oh, y'all going to stop talking and demonstrating, and y'all going to get violent against me and turn it over a few cars and whatnot. I don't pay no attention to that.
No.
350, 500 cars get flooded every day. We don't care nothing about cars getting flooded. So you tearing up two and three cars in the neighborhood, and most of them belong to you anyway. I mean, you know, you're tearing up your own cars, you're tearing up the neighborhood where you got to be. I mean, go ahead and do it. I don't care nothing about that.
Exactly. All right, Ray from Dallas. Appreciate it, man. Appreciate you for calling in. All right, we come to the point where we got the last call. That's Solar Beam from La Rock. From the Rock. Okay, brother, down
yes.
to the Rock. Go ahead, Solar Beam.
Yes, yes, yes. Peace and love and respect to all. Now, Mr. Fuller, I love you, and ain't nothing you can do about it. Now, when I say that, it ain't got nothing to do with sex. I am a male. Now, our biggest thing, and you talked about love and coming together. Let's go to the coming together part. We all advocate that we aggregate. And when we say we aggregate, that's coming up with think tanks to produce justice. When you say those that need the most constructive help, get that help. We should have the progressive intellectuals to find out who is it among people of color that need the most help and not be hypocrites and get them that immediate help. Now, when we say God did not give us the spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind, those of us with these sound minds ought to be ready and not hypocritical and mm-hmm. go out and produce that kind of justice that I'm talking about like right now. I mean, I'm in my 60s. You say the older people are afraid. I don't think I'm afraid. And when I say I love you, when they say Jesus wept, I cried after I finished this book. And this is the first time I think I read a book over and over and over. And the kind of emotion that I got, I cried. Now, back to that we aggregate, we can now reach out even through your platform or go over the internet with what do you call it when we're looking at each other talking all across the world. We can solve these problems if people of color would aggregate back to the coming together. We can solve our own problems with a movement of black-on-black love and respect. That's what we're trying to do in Little Rock, create a movement of black-on-black love and respect. Me being a Moor, I always say now is people of color's love and respect. People of color for Moor. That's our own party. People of color for Moor, where we can get Moor and do Moor with the action of producing real justice. Are you there?
Yeah, we're there. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's just considered VGQ. Okay. Well, down in the rock.
The question is, is Mr. Fuller, I'm asking you, are you ready to use your platform to show that kind of love to start?
Okay, so you're asking that of Mr. Fuller?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Fuller?
The question is what?
Are you ready to use your platform? Because I'm pretty sure that all of us love you. You can be that
wait a minute.
Elijah Muhammad to us.
Am I ready?
Are you ready to use your platform to find out who needs the most constructive help? Sir?
That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing right this minute. That's what I'm doing every minute I'm
on
the air.
Well, we have those that need water.
I'm trying to ask
that are suffering. Would you say those that need water or a well in their community is the one that needs the most constructive help?
Yes.
So why can't we not? If we can raise up enough money for a two-hour program, I'm sure we can start with this platform to start Wales education, even if it's in Madagascar, or pick those that need the most constructive help and do in 22.
Well, if I understand the question, I just say, go to page number 60 of the basic textbook for victims of white supremacy and always be caught whenever you're caught doing anything, or ever you catch yourself or check yourself, just see if what you're doing is one of those things out of four, just four, is real simple, that's on page 60 of the textbook workbook for the system of white supremacy. And that's it. If you're doing one of those four things, you are solving the race problem, whether you know it or not. It may not look like that's what you're doing. Chances are it definitely won't look like that's what you're doing, but that's what you're doing. And the white supremacists will know it. And they will be angry about it. But there ain't no way they can stop it because it's united independent. They come around and say, who's leading you? You say, I'm leading myself. See, that's the difference. The code, as the way I'm presenting it, says that every black person becomes a leader. A leader of whom? Him or herself. If you know how to lead yourself, and somebody asks you, who's your leader? You say, I'm leading myself. They say, yeah, but you just can't lead yourself. I mean, you know, you got to go somewhere and congregate and whatnot. Hey, I ain't got I'm already somewhere. What do you mean go somewhere? I'm where I am, and I'm solving problems where I am. What problems are you solving? The ones right in front of me every day, sir. I'm solving them. That's what code is about. It's me and the code. See, that's the only partner you got. That's the only partner I need. Now, how
yes,
about
sir.
That? Now, see, white supremacists are not used to that kind of talk.
No.
And that kind
no.
of action either.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to have to come to the conclusion of this.
Yes, we're
30
minutes over, I think.
No, we're good. Robert has fixed
we're
it.
Good?
We're good. Yeah,
all right.
We're good. Robert
okay.
has fixed it. So,
okay.
And we thank all the callers. We thank you, Mr. Fuller. We thank you, all the callers. We
and
thank
I
you,
thank
Robert,
them.
for allowing all the calls to get in. We thank you for that, and all, Sharon and Moon Pie and all that. Listen, we hope to do better the next week as we wind down this show. Please tune in and call. Remember, all books can be gotten, all material, at producejustice.com. That's producejustice.com. If that's all, Mr. Fuller, the final word.
Well, the final word is the word that we started with. And that is, we need to know what words mean and how those words can translate into problem solving. Okay?
Right.
All the words, whether they come from Neely Fuller or come from somewhere in outer space.
Okay.
How can you take those words and solve whatever problem that you are looking at every day? That's what
mm-hmm.
you start with. You
okay.
want to know what problems to solve? The ones that you're looking at every day that's been handed to you to solve.
Okay.
If black people learn to solve their problems as problems are handed to them, each and every individual black person, you're talking about miles ahead. That's eons ahead. That's great leap forwards.
Great leaps. Okay, producejustice.com. We'll see you next week.
Constructive
Thank you.
Results.
Thank you, Mr. Fuller.
Thank you.